just gave up and said, you know, forget about it. I wonder if, you know, if that thought's being taken into consideration. Number two, the CCSU following up, or before they sent out the survey, I think the survey, again, I didn't receive the consumer satisfaction survey because I didn't have a case closure, but under the needs assessment survey, I received a strength that the title line in the email didn't come from BESPE. It came from CCSU. I think if consumers out of the blue get an email from CCSU and like, I don't know who they are, I don't think they would open it. And a blast go out from BESPE prior to the survey to these 180 people, hey, you're going to be getting a survey. It's going to come from this email address. It's legitimate. Please take it out. It would be helpful. So I think that's another issue perhaps that was relevant to a low respondent rate.
Yeah, and that part we did do. So we did send an email blast out letting everyone know who was eligible to take the satisfaction survey that it was going to be coming out. Please take it. It's going to come from this location. Okay. So we did do that.
But not for the needs assessment survey.
I think we did it for that one as well. Data person, Jill, I had her pull. It took several emails because there were so many consumers. But she did send that out and also sent reminder emails to take it.
We have to verify those are actually going out because I've never received any, neither did Honorata. That's why we're a little confused. Okay. I guess the work group will follow up with that and find out how we can increase response. And with 180 so surveys going out, how many of those were successful closures and how many were unsuccessful? Either people dropping out of the program or people who disappeared? What's the breakdown?
So I got to think, out of those who responded, which I don't know if it was all 23 or not, I want to say 65% were successfully employed, 10% refused to answer the question or wouldn't identify. So that leaves, 20, if I can do my math, 25% unsuccessful. They sent me those numbers, and I just don't recall them off the top of my head.
No, it's okay. I just want to make sure. Yeah, so with the general, not the respondents, 23, but all the surveys going out, was it kind of a 50-50 breakdown between successful and non-successful closures? So I know in the past, they were only going out to successful closures. So what's the ratio?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't recall, maybe Mary can recall the breakdown. I don't recall the breakdown, but I want to say there were this go around more unsuccessful closures than successful closures.
No, it's the opposite, actually. This year, actually, for the surveys, we did 97 successful closures and 83 unsuccessful.
Okay, sorry.
I could be off if I'm going on the right
track. I couldn't remember the numbers.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I think you mentioned that at the advisory board meeting. And of those, the quote-unquote unsuccessful, I don't like that term, do we know how many of those were just like clients who you lost contact with and they look unsuccessful, but it's a client who may have passed away or moved out of state or decided not to use services anymore or just gave up? Do we have any of that information?
If they passed away, they were not included. Because there would be no way for them to take.
Well, maybe we didn't know. Maybe we don't know. Yeah.
I can give you an anecdotal that probably.
Sure.
The number one reason for closing individuals unsuccessful is because we can't locate them. So that response rate would be lower because we couldn't contact them. So I'm assuming that the survey is not going to be able to contact them either.
No, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So definitely,
I make sure
that's probably one of the
most.
Most common for sure, and we especially recently in the last couple of years have been closing out individuals who haven't accessed services for a number of years.
Okay.
So these are individuals who haven't received voc rehab services in sometimes 5+ years.
Okay, that's good to start purging those out. I know they were kept in the past for certain reasons, but it's good. Okay.
Very exactly.
Good. Anything else for Carol? Any questions, comments, concerns directed towards Carol? Hearing none, I'd like to move to Mary Bergard. supervisor.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'll try to breeze through it quickly because it tends to be a little bit long, and some of it Carol had already said. But as Phil said, that each, like every other meeting, I guess, at the advisory board, we get program updates. I'm usually paired up with Tyrell. So that was what we did this past meeting. In addition to that, though, the board had asked me to provide some additional information. So I'm also going to report on that as well, regarding trainings that staff attend, and the number of closures and what are the job titles of those closures. And for Prue taking notes, I can send you the attachment so you don't have to get everything I'm saying 100% because I have it all written down that I submitted to the board as well, and I can also send that to everybody else if they want to go back and look at it. But I kind of categorized my update this time around where with a more general update first, and then the conferences, events, and then the trainings, and then the list of jobs. So I'm going to start with the general update, just to give everybody an update on our staffing, which I feel like for the last couple years it's been the complete opposite update, but we have hired quite a few staff in the last few months. It took a while to get these positions through, but they're here and they're up and running. So we hired two staff in August, one being our bilingual counselor. So she covers the state of Connecticut, working with our individuals who are bilingual in Spanish and English, or Spanish speaking. She's also working with doing outreach to Hispanic organizations throughout the state as well. In addition to the Spanish caseload, she also carries another caseload down in the southern part of the state. So she's been moved down to the southern part. She lives down there, and we also have a big need down there, so she's taken over some cases in that region. Also, the same day, they started on the same day in August, we hired a rehab technologist, Elena Carabello. I think I forgot to say the bilingual person's name is Tanzania Agramonte. So our technologist is Elena Carabello, and she covers the northern half of the state for our technology. So she's the entire upper northern part of the state, complementing Christiana Taima, who is in the southern part of the state. We do have a third technologist, Jolene Nemeth, who specializes. She's up north as well, but kind of covers the state in virtual. She specializes more in computer training and JAWS training, whereas the other two technologists will do more assessments in the work sites. And then we also had a transition counselor that covered the northern part of the state leave the agency. She had been here for about a year and a half. She was hired during COVID, and she left to go to another agency in December of 2022, and came back. So she's back at BSB. In about the end of July, I think, is when she started. So she's our transition counselor covering the northern part of the state. And in October, we hired the second transition counselor, Paula Rivers, who started in like the beginning of October to cover the southern part of the state. And Stacey Ann Lewis is the northern part of the state counselor. So those are the four positions that we hired in the last few months. So we've just been busy getting those staff up and running and trained and, you know, all good things. But having so many staff start in such a short period of time, it's been, you know, challenging to get everybody trained and ready to go. All of them have pretty much hit the ground running. So it's been a great transition. The next update is, Carol alluded to this, that we went to the National Council for State Agencies for the Blind, which is the conference that we attend in the spring and the fall conference. It's back to back with CSAVR, Council State Administrators for Voc Rehab. And what they do is they report on our six performance measures. We are now, they've implemented the Voc Rehab program be measured on six performance measures, although they're only counting five this past year. When we report on that per year, we report on it as a state. So they combine the performance measures with the Bureau of Rehab Services in Connecticut. But the NCSAB, the National Council for State Agencies, actually separate the numbers based on blind agencies, and they do what's called the leaderboard. So they put up on the count, the conference, all the agent, the blind agencies in the country. I think there's 19 or 20 now, and the VR, the separate VR programs. So we came up at for 3 out of 5 performance measures in the leaderboard. We were number 1 in credential attainment. We were tied for number 2 in employment after, in the second quarter after exit, and we were 3rd in employment the fourth quarter after exit. So we're very happy about that, to see our name up there on the leaderboard, considering we're such a small program, so we're small, mighty. I know another update, we changed our referral process, which is kind of similar to a lot of our conversations regarding closing out individuals who are unsuccessful that never obtained an employment. We've toyed with a lot of different things in voc rehab over the years, in the many years that I've been here. So we have now changed it again. And the purpose of this changing of our referral process that we implemented in November, I believe, is to make sure that we are opening individuals who really want voc rehab and who are appropriate for voc rehab. Because we have found ourselves having to close out a lot of individuals who never really wanted voc rehab or were never really appropriate for voc rehab, which is a result of why we've spent so much time cleaning up our cases. So this new referral process is now going to be, it is on our website under voc rehab, that there's a JOT form, which is an accessible form that we're trying to get all of our forms actually into, that an individual can go into the website and click a request for contact, which will come automatically to me, and I'll assign a counselor to call the individual to see if they're appropriate for voc rehab. We haven't gotten a ton of responses from the website yet, you know, but we did get a couple. Both of them were not legally blind, you know, so they actually went over to BRS, but at least it showed us that we're at least, people are looking at our website. We're definitely looking at changing a lot of the website going forward, but we're getting some traffic on there, and we're getting traffic from people who are not legally blind. So in addition to that, we've also changed our internal process. So a lot of our referrals come internally from our social workers, because, you know, individuals who are newly blind go into the blind registry. They see a social worker to do an intake to the agency and all the services. So now our social workers are filling that form out to ask for a counselor to call the individual, so our counselors can explain the voc rehab services to them. It could also come from our rehab teachers in adult services, O&M, doesn't necessarily have to be the social workers anymore. So that seems to be going well. We've gotten quite a few requests for contact, and we haven't opened everybody, which is an indication that we were opening individuals more than we should have been. We used to do that, kind of keep them in the referral status. So now this process is going to help us open up individuals who want VR services. So we're not wasting our time opening them, closing them, opening them, closing them. So it seems to be going well. Our state plan is due in next year, as Carol said, in 2024. We are working on updating that, and we're also in the process of updating our policy manual, which Carol also gave an update for. So that's our kind of general VR update. You know, so the next one is, since the last time we met, we had National Employment with Disability Month in October. So I thought it was important just to kind of let everybody know all of the events and activities and outreach that we attended in October, because it was quite a bit. The event started in September this year, the end of September, and went all the way to November, the beginning of November, because there were so many, and a lot of them were in person. So, you know, we kind of divide and conquer, and we all attended. I'm going to list them and just kind of explain what they are, because they were great events. We did go to a National Employment Summit conference. This was in September, and this was through our National Employment Team, through the Council of State Agencies for the Blind. you know, or the, you know, Council for State Agencies for Voc Rehab, rather, actually funded this one. So this was an employment summit where employers were there, and there was a few of us from Voc Rehab who went. I went along with our council coordinator and one of our counselors. The next event we did, also at the end of September, was a Disability Employment Services Conference. This was put on by the Bureau of Rehabilitation Services. So we had a vendor table and had a few of our clients attend that. We attended the Bureau of Special Education's 20th annual School Back to School meeting, Resilience, Renewed Accountability, and Results. We had about four of our transition staff attending that. We also had a vendor table at that event as well. There was a resource fair in Hartford at Neat Marketplace. This is an annual event that we are on the planning committee where resources are, you know, there's vendor tables for resource agencies, community rehab providers, employers, all get together. That was well attended. There was probably close to 200 individuals that attended that meeting, that event, and we had a few clients attend that as well. This year, this is put on through the American Job Center up in the Hartford area, along with us, BESBE, BRS, and a few other partner agencies in the state. So this year, which was new, Bridgeport decided to do the same thing. So the American Job Center put on a resource event in Bridgeport. And I was just at the planning committee the other day, and they said there was 15 employers that attended that, along with community partner and agencies in that area down in the Bridgeport area. We had about five staff attending that as well. The Hartford one, I think all of Voc Rehab attended. We had so many people there. It was a well-attended event. We did a lot of outreach events on the Workforce Council for Employment in collaboration with DDS, DMIS, the American Job Centers, the Bureau of Rehab Services, which is being led by a staff member who is a collaboration of DMIS and BRS. And we are we coordinated two outreach activities. One was in September and one was in October. This was an online outreach event, and each had about 100 attendees at each session. You know, we invited community partners throughout the state. The first one was kind of ironic because we had no questions on BESBE or BRS. We're like, well, we must have all done a great job, you know. But the second one, there was all kinds of questions for BRS and BESBE. So I think it all depended on who attended both sessions and, you know, because they were exactly the same. We mirrored the presentation. I also did an outreach event for the Epilepsy Foundation, also in collaboration with the Bureau of Rehab Services and Aging. We did, that was an event, and there was about 25, 30 participants there to talk about our services. Jonathan Richmond, our council coordinator, was actually on the news. He was on NBC Channel 22, I guess, up in the Hartford area, where he gave an overview of BESBE Vocational Services. And as a result of that clip, we got a couple calls from people. They were like, I saw Jonathan on the news, and I really want to come back to Voc Rehab. So that was kind of exciting. So, you know, we talked already about the Council of State Administration, CSAVR and NCSAB. That was in Savannah this year. Both Carol and I attended that, and Carol already gave a great overview of the sessions. We went to our transition staff went to the Capacity Building Institute, which is a back to school event that they, you know, all, you know, had a vendor table and presented on our pre-ed services. We participated in this was a BESBE event for Blindness Equality Day. We had a panel of our pre-employment transition students, our transition students presenting about our pre-ets services. So that was well attended as well. On the same, theme for transition, we did four virtual events for our pre-employment students on advocacy and advocacy and financial planning. So this was a, they were four different days, about 3 hours each, And about, I think about 15 of our students participated. This was a vendor that we've ended this out with called Sky's the Limit. It's an individual who was the former, VR director for Pennsylvania Blind, who runs this agency now. And it was a great and well-attended event. We did an in-person two-day event for our pre-employment transition services on mentors. So this was a mentors as well as mentees were invited to this event. It was at a hotel in Wallingford, two-day event, also put on by Sky's the Limit. And that was a well-attended event as well. And the last event was we did a blindness sensitivity training to one of our community rehab providers in the southeastern part of the state. And you know, this is something that we're going to continue to do. We're on the community rehab provider committee. We have a couple of our staff on there, and we do trainings to the community rehab providers throughout the year, and we're planning on doing many of them. This one, however, was specific to blindness, so we will do an additional training to our community rehab providers on how it is to work with individuals who are blind. We have our O&M instructors come and technologists to talk about different services for our agency. So that's it for the conferences. I will list, and I will go kind of quickly because this is what they had asked me to provide at the advisory board, but this is some of the trainings. So this is actually different than the events, that staff had participated in the last few weeks. There was a program evaluation and quality assurance training in Vermont that our quality control reviewer attended. There's a job accommodation network put on a training on put on by DEMIS. This was a virtual event. A few of our staff attended. iOS accessibility for users who are visually impaired, put on by Perkins, also virtual. Our technologist, I think all of our technologists participated. There was a Topaz OCR training by Freedom Scientific that the technologists attended. There was self-employment, who, what, where, and how to close, which is put on by one of our technical assistance centers that are funded through CSAVR, RSA. There was a windmills disability training put on by Department of Labor. There's two of those. There was an ADA mini con session on ADA basics put on by Transcend is the name of the company. There was a two-day in-person WIOA performance accountability training that all of our VR staff attended. This is put on by the Technical Assistance Center, funded by RSA. We had an individual come to Connecticut and do the training in person. The next session, Bridging the Gap, encouraging equity and registered apprenticeships for neurodiverse youth and adults. Next training, working with transition age youth with disabilities and ethical considerations and working with Hispanic immigrants. Other sessions, and just to clarify, some of our staff, not necessarily all of our staff attended, but these are just some of the trainings that our staff attend. Celebrating accomplishments and building an inclusive tomorrow, increasing access and equity for individuals who are blind and deafblind, put on by NDEAM is the name of the company. We have staff who participate in the pre-employment community of practice, which is through a technical assistance center through RSA. The last three sessions they've had have been trainings on what other agencies and one of our technical assistance centers for pre-eds came and gave a presentation on that one. These are just general trainings that all staff are required to participate. Ethics 101, workplace diversity and inclusion, sexual harassment and prevention training, workplace violence prevention training, responding to active killer, domestic violence prevention and legal protections training, and security awareness trainings. So that's it. Those are all, believe it or not, trainings that we have participated in only in the last 4 months. So we do a lot. The other question they had asked for us was to a list of the individuals how many individuals were closed successfully for our performance year this past year. There were 97 individuals that were closed, with the average wage was $28.58, and the average hours were 31. I have the list of non-duplicated you know, job titles for our staff. And there's such a wide variety. I will not, because I know we're short on time, and will not go through all of them, but again, I will attach it. But it goes from accountants to financial manager to marketing clerk to receptionist, to tax examiner, to telemarketer, to teacher assistant. So there's just a wide range of job titles that individuals who are legally blind get. So that's it.
Well, Mary, again, I want to thank you for going down that whole report again. I know you just did it last week, but I'll confess, this is the most... I don't have the words for it. It's so good that this is what we need to hear on the council. We are here for the VR program to be of service, to assist in any way we can, to help guide the Bureau within VR. And hearing how everything is functioning like this, it's so imperative for us so we know how to do our job, how to better assist you in doing yours. And again, I can't thank you enough. It's the most comprehensive report I've heard on 3 years, serving 3 years on the SRC. So I thank you. I hope we can get similar updates. You know, you don't have to be as comprehensive, but updates each quarterly meeting would be great. And again, thank you for that. That was wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in, Mr. Chairman. It's Bill. I just want to thank you too, Mary and Tyrell and Carol, for a job well done. You know, communication is half the battle. When people like us are walking around and everyone's bashing Besby, we're walking commercials for Besby, and this helps us with buzzwords and one-liners. And you know, we may remember a few things that you've said, and we'll spit those out, or we'll disagree with people, and it'll help Besby in the future for sure, for morale purposes, budgeting purposes, everything. You know, it's just a good positive thing. So I'd strongly recommend and keep doing this, because it's a good thing for sure for everybody. I think it's a win-win-win all the way across.
Absolutely.
I think someone has their hand raised.
Hi, it's Jen Jenkins from the Client Assistance Program. Mary, thank you so much for that report. My question is in regard to the changes to the referral process. You said the counselors will be determining whether an individual is appropriate for VR services. Could you expand on what you mean by appropriate and how those decisions will be made?
Not necessarily that they are appropriate at that time, because that's more of our eligibility, but more that they want voc rehab. So, because in the past, we relied on our counselors to explain the services for voc rehab, and they don't work for voc rehab. So they had a lot of difficulty. So it was almost like, all right, you're 50. I'm going to, you know, you probably want to work. I'm going to just refer you. And then we would open them. And then we'd go through this process. And then we would close them out because they're like, I don't want to work. I'm retired early, or I, you know, whatever reason they don't want to work. So, that they say, I don't want VR services. I'm ready for VR services. We get that so often that we decided, or the opposite, like there's somebody who may be, you know, not ready physically because they're newly blind, or they're not emotionally ready to enter into the voc rehab program. So what happens is our counselors, our social workers in the past would not have referred that individual. So we would, you know, lose them. We didn't have a mechanism to go back. So in this way, we can have our counselors say, you know what, you may not be ready now, but I'll open up your case and you may be ready in 6 months. But I'm going to flag your case and make sure I'm keeping notes. So that's the reason behind all of this. And what's happening is our staff are spending so much time closing out inappropriate referrals that they don't have the time to actually really outreach to appropriate referrals. So that process of deciding whether somebody is eligible, I guess more than appropriate would be the word, is done once they apply for services. So this is before they even come to voc rehab. So it's really actually a mechanism not to screen out people, but to screen in people, because then they get lost in the shuffle, because it's like, well, then I'm not going to refer anybody if I'm, you know, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to explain the voc rehab process. So, you know, and we actually, I've had 4 referrals to our bilingual counselor in the last like week, which is ironic. So it's like, well, because she's new, and it's just a great way to outreach to the individuals who, you know, their preferred language is Spanish, you know, so she's been able to call them and you know, engage individuals. So that's kind of the point of the new referral process, because we get so stuck in too much time, if that makes sense, just closing up.